Welcome to the choir room. There's always room for you if you're a fan of Glee. Then you're a friend of me.
Part two, baby. Part two of Mercedes Jones's character study. We are back here for another session of talking all things Mercedes, all things Amber Riley. And we're going to get into today some season three going into season four. If you already listened to part one, which covered seasons one and two, then you are all set to jump right in here. If somehow you stumbled upon this before that, go back, check that out, and then come here. Or if you're just being chaotic and, you know, pressing random episodes at play, hey, how's it going? It is 2021. Maybe your next podcast up will be somewhere from like July 2020. Who knows what you're up to in life, but we're happy you're here today with us to talk about some more Mercedes and Amon. Today we are getting into season three.
It's like Mercedes fully realized, you know, this is her coming out season. This is her I'm done taking your shit season. This is like her big, like, Effie White season. I love it. I love, like, season three is a good season for Mercedes Jones.
Yes, definitely. I mean, it was about time after we just spent the entire last podcast discussing all of the different ways of her taking a backseat to Rachel Berry time and time again until she literally has to, like, walk out of a benefit concert because, you know, things are going so poorly in her life. As much as, you know, she's trying to, you know, be friends with her and they're having sleepovers or whatever, it just does not end up working out for these two, or at least for Mercedes. It works out just fine for Rachel. So, yeah, this is going to be the season where she tries to take that all back into her own hands and, you know, get, you know, show everybody that she's serious. It is her senior year and she's not going to sit back while, you know, Rachel runs the show. Of course, at the end of season two, we saw that her and Sam were, you know, kind of connected a little bit, holding hands in the lima bean. But obviously, Sam is not with us at the beginning of season three. His family moved. So she is now with a new guy by the name of Shane. We don't get to know Shane too much, but I think overall, the time that she does spend with Shane, I think both of us grew to be relatively decently fans of Shane.
Yeah, he's super duper supportive of her from the get-go. I mean, we already hear him like planning their life together, and Mercedes is super into it. Like, what does he say to her? He's like, "I'm gonna go ahead and get this football scholarship. And then after you're done making your first album, we're going to make beautiful chocolate babies." And
she's just, yeah, something like that. It's adorable.
She's like, "Oh, baby, how you talk." So Mercedes she's taken.
Yeah, he's a catch. He's, you know, he treats her so well. He's a good looking guy. I'm like, yeah, no, this is a good match between these two. So, yeah, that's where she's at now with her relationship. As far as the new direction goes, we are at the beginning of a new year and some things need to be worked on. Right. We lost at Nationals last year. We need to make sure this team is in, you know, the best shape and the best dancing and the best everything to go forward. So we're going to start the season off with some booty camp that Will puts together. He tells Mercedes that she does need to show up to booty camp, which is, you know, going to, you know, cause some concern or confusion in her head, because why isn't everybody here? It's just a couple of people that were selected that need to work on their dancing. Okay, sure. You know, she's wondering, like, well, you know, I mean, usually you use me for the same thing anyway, so why can't everybody just dance around me while I stand here and sing? But whatever. So in Asian F, it's really going to be where things get kicked off. Mercedes is going to show up to booty camp a little bit late because her alarm went off late. She starts to practice with everybody and she gets a little sick because she forgot to eat. She's just been so busy with everything lately. Also, West Side Story auditions are happening, and Shane's, you know, going to hype her up a little bit because, you know, she is up against Rachel for the leading role, and, you know, she knows that she's just as good, but she, you know, the reminder from Shane certainly is not going to hurt, especially just anytime she goes up against Rachel. It always seems like a lock that Rachel's going to get whatever it is, so why would this time be any different? She's going to do that performance of Spotlight there, but there's just a lot happening here in this episode between that audition and between booty camp that just ends up not going well for her.
Yeah, she's she's never really been the type to really like to dance, because we know that Amber Riley / Mercedes Jones can actually dance, and I love how they actually make a bit of a joke out of that in season 6. But yeah, I mean, she really has sort of been the park and bark kind of girl for the Glee Club for the most part. But then again, she still is back there doing the same dances that the rest of the team does. So
yeah, she holds up just fine.
She really does. I guess this is just, I guess we're just led to believe that she's just not really a big fan of having to do it. And I mean, yeah, she is preparing for her audition for West Side Story, and so is Rachel, but for whatever reason, Rachel doesn't have to be there. So, interesting. And that, you know, that's going to tick her off. That in combination with someone like Shane, who is telling her just how talented she is and how, she deserves every bit of fame and glory that Rachel Berry does. So it's just a bad combination. You know what I mean? Someone who's being uber supportive of you versus an entire team of people who are supposed to be supportive of you, but seem to be giving you a bunch of shit for nothing, especially when you're like one of the star members of the group. Not only is Rachel not at booty camp, but also Santana just strolls back into the Glee Club after having lit the piano on fire and is able to just swear her allegiance and it's just fine. But Mercedes is the one getting shit. You know what I mean? So it's, yeah, it's, she's pissed, and I understand why.
Yeah, there's a lot building up in this episode, which is going to lead to, of course, at the end when Mercedes is going to head off to, you know, find a new Glee Club to join because there's an option now here at the school. But leading up to that, I mean, yeah, booty camp is just not going well. You know, she's struggling to get all the choreography down and nobody's really giving her any extra assistance. They just keep chalking it up to her being lazy. Like, that is the theme of a lot of this part of the show for Mercedes. Like, going back to last season when Jesse said that about her, it's like, oh, you're just lazy. You don't want to do any. It's like, if you're willing to work with her, like, give her a little bit and maybe she'll give it back to you, but you don't give her anything. You just demand this out of her and whatnot, and that's not how people work, whether it's a high school student like Mercedes or just anybody in the world. So booty camp is just not going well. She's arguing with Will about the Rachel thing that you were just talking about, and we get a really fun performance there. It's all over, as you know, we get like the full on, like, everybody's in character there, and you know, she's like, I don't know, that's just such a fun scene. I'm excited to talk about it a little bit, but you like that one too, right?
It's All Over is just amazing.
It's so fun, yeah.
It's amazing in Dreamgirls, and it's amazing in the Glee version as well. So well done. I remember when I knew exactly, I could feel it coming when I watched this episode for the first time. I was like, oh my god, no they're not. No they're not. No they're not. And then the lights come up and they're all done up in 60s. I was like, yes! Oh my god, I love this! So yeah, this is it's certainly a treat. And it's so apropos. Like Mercedes has been putting up with this bullshit for 2 years. She's over it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's probably a little forgotten about this number if you, like, you know, because as much fun as the performance is, the song isn't one that, like, I played back for myself, at least on my phone. And even as much as you like it, did you ever replay it, like, as, like, you know, just, you know, going for a run and you play It's All Over? I don't know if it's that kind of song.
No, not really. It's definitely a song that, you know, you really
you want
the context.
It.
Yeah, it's a spectacle as well.
But I mean, it's fun to go back and visit it, revisit it. But so that's all happening there. And then, of course, with the West Side Story of it all, Coach Beast and Emma are running the show over there. And, you know, they can't decide on who should get the part, Mercedes or Rachel. They go through with this callback that they're, you know, planning to have to decide, you know, to try to make the decision easier. We already heard out here on my own yesterday while we are, you know, the first part while we, you know, covered the first portion of Mercedes' songs there. So that all goes how it goes. They end up telling them that they are going to split the part because basically, you know, as Mercedes is going to call out, but nobody's really going to outwardly admit, they just can't say no to Rachel because they know what happens when people say no to Rachel. Nobody else acts like this, but Rachel will throw a fit. She'll probably threaten to quit the Glee Club, which, yes, Mercedes is going to do the same, but Rachel has threatened this at every turn, going back to like the first day of the club or whatever it was that she left to go, you know, be in Sandy Ryerson's cabaret. So, like, this is, you know, Mercedes is absolutely justified in what's about to happen here. Rachel, it would have just been throwing a fit. And yeah, Mercedes is going to head off. She finds Shelby Corcoran, who is now here at the school, and a new Glee Club is going to be formed. And look, the rest is history.
Yeah. I mean, why is it that why is it that everyone is afraid to hurt Rachel's feelings? Why? Well, like, what's the reason? Why? And they can't even give her a reason. That's like the most frustrating thing. It's like, y'all are just going to give her everything. It's so annoying. Like, if it were if it were, I honestly feel like there's a world in which Mercedes Jones does not quit the Glee Club if Rachel had just flat out got the part and it wasn't split. I honestly believe that because she would have been pissed. She might have even tried to tank the show or something. But I honestly feel like the fact that they made them split the role was like, okay, all right, we're done. We're done here. Because it's like, y'all will never, ever, ever, ever just say, Rachel, no. And then when you say Rachel, no, 5 minutes later, it's like, you know what, Rachel? You handled me saying no to you so well. So here's a, like, get the hell out of here. It's so aggravating. So
yep.
Her running all the way over to Shelby Corcoran is some good. And second of all, I love the way that this scene is shot towards the end of this episode where they have, you know, the cast that's getting put up in slow motion and we see Rachel see Mercedes, see her, and then Mercedes goes to find Shelby. I just think it's shot so well. I love that scene so much. The beginning of season three is lit, bitch. It's lit.
There's a lot happening here, and I, you know, we, as much as we talked about it at the time, of just like me feeling all that concern of like, wait, no, the Glee kids are supposed to be together. It's their last year together. To like go back with like the context of like the whole season and knowing that they will come back together in a couple of episodes, it does create a bit of drama here at the beginning, especially as like a lot of other, you know, random stuff is happening. You know, what's going on with Finn and Rachel and Rory showing up with a pot of gold here. It's like, you know, there's a lot going on. So the Trouble Tones are soon to be formed, and of course I call them that knowing that's what they are, but they don't have the name just yet. It's going to be the very next episode where Mercedes has to start recruiting some people to join the club. So she's going to come to Santana Lopez, the one person that she knows that she vibes with in both, you know, a musical sense, like they've had some great duets so far in their time together, and also like she can get along with Santana. So she tries to convince her to join. Santana is going to end up agreeing. Hesitation was if she could get Brittany to join too, but Brittany does end up agreeing, and the three of them come together, plus Miss Sugar Mata and Shelby Corcoran mm-hmm. as their coach. They are going to come up with the name The Trouble Tones, and we get this inaugural performance from them as they sing Candyman. Sugar is there too, which is like so easy to forget because, you know, it's the three of them, right, in that performance. But we have a group here. They're ready to go, and they're ready to take on the world.
Johnson and Jenny singing on a vine. Candyman, sipping from a bottle of vodka double wine, sweet sugar, Candyman. What a bop. And yeah, Sugar is easily relegated to backup dancer.
Yes. But the group is formed. And speaking of that exact song and some of the other songs that come up, Mashoff is going to be next. And they're going to come up with this idea to do an Adele mashup. And Glee will never be the same again.
Yeah, Mercedes doesn't have that much to do in this episode other than fucking slay, rumor has it, someone like you, because this is more of a Santana-centric episode. But yeah, it's an iconic performance. Yeah. I mean, what else could you say?
Yeah, like it's all about Santana here. Obviously, Santana's got a lot going on with, you know, everything with Finn. We're going to get to like the performance. And as, you know, we see Mercedes on stage ready to go with like Brittany and the rest of the girls. And Santana's, you know, in that position, you know, they're all ready to start. And you see that look from Mercedes over to Santana, like, we're about to do this performance, but like my girl does not look good. And they get through the number. And then, you know, Santana just at the end, you know, we'll talk more about that when we talk about Santana, but either way, still the fact that Mercedes is, you know, one of the two voices that contribute to this song, one of the most iconic ones ever done in Glee, very often considered the favorite. Yeah, it's a big number here, a big moment. And yeah, there's really not, like you said, not a lot happening specifically for Mercedes, but this group exists because of Mercedes, right? Shelby would have probably worked to put together a Glee Club of her own, but I don't know that she would have willingly, that she would have been able to get these, like this group together had Mercedes not created this on her own. So all the props to her on all this, but that's that. Iconic, history, legendary.
Shelby Corcoran has quite the penchant for mashups because, I mean, she provides us with this and she provides us with Survivor, I Will Survive. So the girl's talented, lady. She's mm-hmm. talented.
But we're going to go on into Hold On to 16 in the very next episode. And Amon, Sam Evans is back in town.
Trouble. I mean, talk about trouble tones. This is not good for Shane Sadies. obviously, Sam is back with a vengeance. He has been, you know, he convinced his parents to let him stay with Finn. And, you know, next on the list is joining the Glee Club. And then after that is getting Mercedes back. Mercedes isn't a part of the Glee Club anymore because, I mean, obviously Sam doesn't know that because he's been absent this entire time. But he is going to get a chance to meet up with her. And Mercedes is like, it's trying to downplay it. Like, it's just a fling. I'm with Shane now. Like, I mean, I'll always love you, but we can't do this anymore. But Sam is not going to give in too easily. And yeah.
No. He is going to be very much invested in this for weeks to come here as, you know, he's back in town. This is obviously something that was happening over the summer and they fell hard for each other. But, you know, I guess as soon as he left, Mercedes, you know, let it go from her mind. She linked up with Shane and things have been going really well with him. It's not like she was with somebody, you know, in the meantime, that's like not as good as Sam was. Like, Shane is a great guy in her life and every aspect of their relationship seems to be going well. But she also likes Sam, which is why it's going to create this big struggle that she has now that Sam is back. Sectionals comes and goes. They, you know, do a great job with their performance there. I will survive or I will survive. But yeah, the Trouble Tones not going to do so hot in terms of results, which we don't need to rehash that, do we? Maybe not right now. And ultimately, Quinn is going to find the girls in the bathroom, bring them all back. So they will come back to rejoin the Glee Club. Sam is, you know, obviously a part of that. So now Sam and Mercedes are going to be spending some more time together. The Trouble Tones era does not last as long as you would like it to. But, you know, just to cut ahead to season six, the Trouble Tones will reform, even though it can't be this specific group. And actually, no, I mean that in two different ways, because the Trouble Tones reform both at the wedding with this specific group, and then when Will takes over the school, he reinstates the Trouble Tones. So the Trouble Tones will not ever die, but Sam Sadies also will not ever die, because like I said, this is going to keep on going.
Yeah, I mean, do we think, I don't think we ever really talked about it that much, but do we think that they gave in too easily? I mean, I guess there really wasn't much for them to do once they lost sectionals. Yeah, what else is there to do? Yeah, I guess, but there was just like so much fire and so much anger, but also, you know, righteous indignation for Mercedes for the, you know, for like the whole first half of season three. And I just feel like, I don't know, obviously you need Mercedes there because this is season three and they have to win sectionals together as a team. Obviously, I get all of that. But at the same time, I'm just trying to think, like, realistically, like, if I were Mercedes, would I really just come crawling back to the New Directions after putting in all of that work and after being, I mean, Yeah, I mean, I still ultimately believe that the New Directions pulled it off with all of that Michael Jackson, but the Trouble Tones were not bad. Like, so, like, I'm thinking, like, if I were Mercedes, would I really want to go back? I don't think I would.
She's got too much of a star, you know, she's too much of a star to, like, just let that, you know, fade away and go back to, like solely singing at the church, you know, with the choir there. It's like, she's, you know, the Glee Club exists for a reason, and the all these kids are in it for a reason, right? Because it brings them joy to be a part of this kind of, you know, singing group all throughout the year. So if the option is to, you know, suck it up and be by Rachel when all of the other options seem to have been exhausted or, you know, or do nothing at all, I can totally understand why she rejoins, and especially because it's presented as this, like, not just Mercedes being the one that has to make the make the call to go back or not. Like, it's the three of them. So when Quinn comes to them and says, all three of you, like, we will make sure that there is one number per show that is dedicated to performances just like the one you guys put on, because you're right, you are stars, and we, you know, should be highlighting what you guys just pulled off there. So, you know, Rachel agreed, Mr. Shu agreed, so, you know, you're still going to exist. You just have to, you know, hang out with us again. Sorry.
You know what would have made me feel a little bit better about this is if we actually got to see a sit down with Will. You know, like, if that had been the scene that took place before we get We Are Young, like, I would have loved to have Quinn corral the girls, bring them to Mr. Shu, and Mercedes is like, Mr. Shu, you done pissed me off for the past 2 years. If I'm going to come back, I wanted like a whole, like, Mercedes Jones, Lauren Zizes moment. You know what I mean? Yeah. That would have made me feel a lot better because that's kind of off screen and Quinn is the one that does all of it, when Quinn really wasn't even invested in that to begin with because she spent the whole part of the season, you know, chasing after her baby. It kind of just feels a little wonky, but that's just me.
Yeah, no, I agree. That would be that would definitely be a worthwhile scene to have had. I don't dislike how they approach it here by having Quinn be the one to kind of bring them all back together and, you know, really give us this. It's almost the end of senior year. I want to be spending it with all of you, like, kind of thing. But as far as like Mercedes goes, if this was the Mercedes show, you know, instead of the Rachel show, then you would have gotten that, right? You would have had Mercedes having to talk to Will as like the main players of the story. But, you know, sadly, that's not the world that we live in. But, you know, we'll add it to the list of things to write when we write our own Glee someday. Sam and Mercedes, after we come back from the break here, are going to let all of the rest of the kids know about how their summer went. We get that summer night's performance, and they tell them all about how things were, and Sam is going to continue to try to pull Mercedes back to him. She's going to have a hard time, you know, again, agreeing to anything that Sam is trying to throw out there because she's still with Shane, and she has to, like, you know, as much as she likes Sam, she's with Shane. That's the end of the story that she's going to, you know, make sure Sam understands. But we get a performance here, The First Time Ever I Saw Your Face, where Mercedes, Tina, Rachel, Santana, they sing it up on that stage together. It's a very beautiful performance. They all sound great. But all of them are sitting there thinking about, you know, their first kisses and their first, you know, times like truly being with their partner, whoever it is, you know, Mike or Finn, Brittany, and, you know, for Mercedes, she realizes that she was actually thinking of Sam during the performance and not of Shane. So she does not expect that to happen. She ends up running off the stage crying, and the girls follow her, and she admits to them that she was upset because she was picturing Sam, and she really just thought that she was over him.
This is so bad for her to be booed up with Shane and then like singing to the masses in the outside in the cafeteria, whatever the hell you call that place. Yeah, Sam and I were like spent the entire summer together. It was great. It happened so fast. Like, oh my God, Sam is just amazing. I'm like, girl, like somebody's going to hear you. The Cheerios are everywhere. Like, they're going to tell Shane.
That's a good point. I actually never sat down and considered that. Because, I mean, you see in the very next scene that she goes to Sam being like, this isn't happening. But it's like, you were just singing about the great summer.
You were just singing his praises. Like, you told them everything. But, I mean, it's cute. And the Summer Nights is just, you know, classic song. Yeah, I mean, she's obviously still very conflicted. They must have had, like, a really, really great time together over the summer. And I guess just Sam leaving, I guess she didn't really have to... She never really thought about having to worry about those feelings because he was gone. And now that he's back, it's like, well, fuck. Like, what am I going to do? Yeah. So...
Yeah, they're going to tell her, you know, take it slow, listen to your heart, trying to give her some advice here. The very next episode, though, we're going to get into the Michael Jackson episode. Mercedes gets a text from Sam, meet up in the auditorium. She ends up going there and sees her name in bright lights on the, you know, auditorium backdrop. Sam is, you know, trying to make another big gesture to show her how much he cares about her. He's like, you know, your name's up in lights. This is a preview of what you're going to, you know, see every day in your future when you're the big star. And he asks her to sing together. They do sing together. We get Human Nature, which actually I was gonna, a very highly ranked Sam song. I don't want to, you know, outwardly spoil where it placed. But that probably just kind of did. They share a kiss after the song. And Mercedes is in some hot water going forward because she has not yet broken up with Shane. She did not yet fully plan on leaving Shane, but she just kissed another guy, the guy that she did spend those summer nights with. And now we have to go find a way to either end this with Shane or work this out in one way or another. And who better to help us out with our problems here than Emma Pillsbury?
I was literally about to say that exact same phrase. They meet up with Emma, and Emma pretty much gives them the advice of, how about you just separate? Separate. You guys are obviously not really sure how to handle the situation, so what if you just take some time, spend alone, and then at the end of the week, come back together, reconvene, and see how you feel then. And so they go ahead and try to do that, at least. It's a Spanish week in the Glee Club, and they both sing songs to one another, even though they really shouldn't be. But, I mean, she never said anything about not singing. She just said, no talking. basically, they take her advice, although they do sing to one another. And at the end of their allotted time of separation, they're about to speak to one another. But then Shane intervenes. He's like, back up off my woman. I mean, he doesn't say all that, but he might as well have. And pulls Mercedes away before they can actually talk to each other to see how they both feel. But they were both, like, about to run to each other in slow motion down the hallway. So it looked like they had something really pleasant to say to one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they definitely, you know, were, like, this is becoming a thing, right? At this point, it's like, Shane, I'm sorry to tell you, but this is over. Like, think back to, like, Sam and Quinn in season two when you knew that it was over for Sam, but he didn't quite get it yet. Shane is kind of at that spot right now. He doesn't really know that it's over as much as he's starting to realize how badly it, or how important it is for him to keep Mercedes away from Sam. Every time he pulls her away from him, you know, she turns around in the hallway and, like, looks back to him to, like, you know, kind of just, we see the regret on her face that she's walking away pretty much with the guy that she doesn't have the stronger feelings for. You know, we're at the final two of The Bachelor here, and she accepted the rose from the wrong guy, but she's gonna end up fixing this. We go into the next episode, into the Valentine's Day of it all, and Sam asks her to be her you know, her date to Sugar's Valentine's Day party, thinking that, you know, now that they shared that kiss, like, there's got to be a way to get them together, right? They both of them join the God Squad as well at this point with Quinn and Joe, so they're, you know, really spending a lot of time together. Mercedes tells him that she told Shane about the kiss, and obviously, you know, that pretty much means that her and Shane are no longer together, but she needs some time by herself now to, like, figure out her feelings, work through the guilt that she's feeling for what she did to Shane, you know, kissing another guy while she was with him. And she tells Sam, look, I have feelings for you, I always will, but I feel, you know, like, again, I feel like a really bad person. So this is where we're gonna get another big Mercedes number with I Will Always Love You. And she sings to Sam, but, you know, you kind of feel, you know, she's singing to both Shane and Sam, of like, she did have feelings for Shane as well. She does have feelings for Sam. But Sam is the one that's here watching the performance, and he gets super emotional. He can't even, like, sit through the whole thing. He ends up running out of the choir room in tears because of how, like, strongly he's feeling this. So we're getting closer to being able to maybe have them together. But, you know, Mercedes is going through all of this because, you know, Shane, again, was a good guy. So they're broken up, and now she's got to, like I said, spend some time on her own.
So, like, do we feel like she, I mean, obviously she messed up by kissing Sam, right? But I always wonder, what is the appropriate, like, imagine the kiss hadn't happened yet. So this is, like, right as Sam has come back, and she can tell that her feelings for him are burgeoning once more. What's the proper thing to do here? Like, what do we think the right thing to do is? Do you tell your significant other immediately? Or do you just... Because you can't control how you feel about somebody, right? Like, if you like somebody, you like them, and that it just is what mm-hmm. it is. But if you're in a relationship, is it your duty at that point in time to be like, look, Shane, I love you, but, like, I'm also kind of feeling Sam right now. Is that the appropriate thing to do? Or do you just, like, keep it to yourself and just, like, try to beat it out of yourself and then just not act on temptation? Like, I always, like, kind of wonder, like, what was she supposed to do in that situation? Obviously
it's,
not
it's
kissing.
It's a no-win situation, right? I mean... Yeah, it just feels absolutely no win in any kind of scenario like that. Like, no matter who you plug into being these three people, you know, you tell the person, you know, if Mercedes tells Shane that she's feeling that way for Sam, it's, you know, already indicating that, you know, she's potentially wavering and doesn't feel, you know, as in love with Shane as Shane feels about her, to the point where he's probably going to be like, all right, we need to, you know, end this. And, you know, it would take some real mature people and people that are, like, experienced in relationships and whatnot to be able to get through something like that with, like, full honesty. I don't think high school kids are anywhere near capable of that kind of thing. You know, there's really just, I don't think, I mean, I don't have much experience from, you know, this, from all of this conversation from a high school perspective, but, like, you know, it doesn't seem like there's any way to do this in, like, a, you know, because her feelings are for Sam are there, so there's nothing she can do about getting rid of them, like you just said. So what, does she just suppress them? It's like, no, if that's how she's feeling and she, you know, is going to at some point act on them, it's like, is the right time to break up with Shane? But she hasn't made sure. She's working through it all. I don't know. Do you have a better answer of how she could have, should have gone about it? Besides, obviously, like, maybe just not kissing him with Shane. I don't know. You know, we're all, who's perfect, right? Everybody makes mistakes. She didn't sleep with Sam, you know, while she was still with Shane. It was a kiss that, you know, she used. The kiss ended up propelling her to make this decision that she was happier with Sam and wanted to be with him eventually. So I don't know. I don't know. It's tricky.
I mean, I don't necessarily know if I don't think I really have an answer for it either. I was just wondering what you thought. I mean, I guess, like, the best outcome possible is sort of the scenario that you described. If, you know, people are very emotionally aware, and you're with someone who's also very emotionally aware, like, I guess the best thing to do is to be honest and be like, look, I mean, because I guess at some, she could have said, because I don't even know if Shane knows that Sam and Mercedes were a thing. Now, that could be an issue. She could have at least said, just want to let you know, Sam and I did have a thing before you and I were together, just so that Shane is aware, and versus like Shane thinking, oh my goodness, you're just like getting with this guy out of the blue. Like, what happened? Like, what mm-hmm. happened with you and I? You know what I mean? So I guess at the very least, she could have told him that. And then if she wanted to, she could have been like, yeah, so I'm actually feeling a kind of way about Sam. So maybe I should break up with you now because I'm feeling a little conflicted and I don't want to feel conflicted in a relationship.
Yeah.
But I mean, she's what? 17, 18.
That's exactly. Yeah. And it's hard to say. I mean, even as I like say, oh yeah, it might take like mature people in a relationship. Like, I just can't personally imagine being the Shane in this situation and being happy, with this happening. Even if I was, you know, as mature as possible about it and being like, oh, I get it. You know, it's not her fault. You know, she didn't know that she was going to fall in love with him. Like, she wasn't trying to hurt me. It's just, what can you do? So I don't know. You know, love is tricky. Stay single, kids. But maybe that's not the answer.
No, don't stay single. Don't take his advice. Oh my God, that's horrible advice.
Well, that's what I follow. Anyway, we're going to go on into the season and get to some Saturday Night Gleaver, which is going to be an episode that highlights not just Mercedes, but also Santana and Finn as some of the seniors here who are not the Rachels and Kurtz that have not been, you know, afforded the time just yet to figure out what their future is going to involve, what is going to be their plan, because, you know, we're almost at the end of the school year here and these kids still don't know what they're doing, which is totally realistic. Will, in particular, is the one who, you know, puts this all together because he's concerned about them. Suddenly concerned about Mercedes, Mr. Shu is. So he wants to get them all thinking about their future a little bit more. And over time, Mercedes figures out what's going on here, that, you know, they think that she has no plans for herself. And she's like, I'm not, it's not that. Like, it's not that I have nothing in mind or whatever. It's just kind of intimidating. Like, the fear of going away for college, I don't even know exactly where to go. Like, I know what I want to do. I just don't know the exact path to get there. But luckily for her, she's got somebody by her side who's more than willing to help anything he can to get this along. Sam is going to end up recording Mercedes in a Disco Inferno performance that she does, which, you know, of all Mercedes performances that she's done to this point, this being the one that you put on YouTube saying, not that it's bad by any means, but like, she's done so much more. The Disco Inferno performance ends up going onto YouTube thanks to Sam, without her knowing about it.
He should have been recording the Whitney Houston thing through his tears.
Yeah, I mean, it was literally just like, what, like an episode ago that she was, you know, show that on YouTube. Not that this one was bad, but this is the one that he ends up recording, putting it online, and, you know, he tells her, you know, I believe in you, you can do anything that you want, and we'll kind of have to see how this goes, but it does seem like the performance getting all these likes and comments is trending in a positive direction for her. But yeah, a lot of concern about her here.
I mean, because she hasn't really been one of the seniors that's been very vocal about what the hell she's going to do afterwards. Like, she's not like Kurt. She's not like Rachel. She's not like Quinn. So I'm glad that Mr. Shu finally decided to actually be a teacher and, you know, do something about it. He doesn't really give her that great advice when it's all said and done, because, you know, after she's done with her performance, he just gives her the, you know, the old saying, the cream always rises to the top. I'm like, yeah, so how about some direction? How about some advice? How about, you know, like, give her a place to go, you know? But thankfully, Sam does sort of have the best course of action here in showing her that there is an audience out there for her. All she has to do is go and get them. And yeah, maybe you're not going to know exactly all the steps to get there, but you just have to put yourself out there. You can't wait to figure out how to step without stepping. You know what I mean? You just have to take that first step, no matter what it is. So
yeah,
yay Sam! Score one for Trouty Mouth.
And we know how this is all going to play out going, like, we're kind of here at the end of season three, for the most part. And, the good news is going to come in time that, she is going to end up getting a recording contract, you know, out in LA, thanks to the video that Sam put online. So while all of her friends are going to end up, you know, leaving and graduating and everybody has their plans, it took her a while to get to where she, you know, had her own plan. But, you know, when she does end up graduating along with everybody else, she's got a recording contract lined up and, you know, obviously a very successful career ahead of her. So all thanks to our good old friend Sam. So look at him go.
Look at Sam go, baby.
She's going to go to prom with Sam and, you know, spend this spend these final hours of senior year alongside
him. So are they together? Like, was there ever a moment in time at the end of season three where they're like, okay, we're together now? That never happens, does it?
Not really. I mean, they end on a good note, right? They end being together, but they don't end being like, you know, Finn and Rachel, like, we're getting married. I mean, not that they end season three like that, but you know, sometimes you just can tell that a couple is like strong together and definitely going to show back up in the next season. That's not exactly what's happening here.
All right, well, I guess Mercedes just likes to have something on the side at all times.
Yeah. What was going on at Nationals with that bad burrito that she ate? She gets put on bed rest. It was such a random
thing. It was just to raise the stakes.
I know, but it was so incredibly random. Like, they couldn't even find any kind of way to make it, like, some kind of realistic, I don't know, like, make it about her voice. You know, she lost her voice or something. I don't know. It's just so... No, she ate a bad burrito, and she's on bed rest because she feels sick. And, you know, she's out here being, like, you know, horrified at the thought of missing her last performance. You know, obviously, it's a way to get Tina and Quinn in on that last Trouble Tones number, but still so strange.
And then Sue does something to her and gets her all back in tip-top shape.
Yeah, so the Trouble Tones go on. They crush it with Edge of Glory at the Nationals performance. And, of course, we know that the New Directions are going to win there and all go on to celebrate and be happy and, you know, time to graduate. So Mercedes' time, along with some of the other seniors there, is going to come to an end at McKinley. Overall, I mean, what is there more to say about her time at McKinley than has been already said? You know, glad that here in this season three that she did stand up for herself, did do her best to try to create her own path of, you know, finding a place where she could be the star along with other people that she was happy to share the spotlight with, being Santana and Brittany, being like, all of us are stars and we all deserve to shine. And, you know, if this club had won more often, if the Trouble Tones did go on to have a successful season there, then you probably would have seen all of them being fair about getting specific solos and whatnot, because that's how they operate. But we do not live in that reality, unfortunately. They all went back to the New Directions. And as for Mercedes Jones, season four is going to not feature much of her, sadly for all of us.
So just to go back to season three for a second, I'm fine with Mercedes getting a recording contract and everything, but it feels so rushed. I would have loved if there had been, like, if the Saturday Night Gleaver episode had happened while Sam had already uploaded a video of her to the internet and it had gone viral, and then he shows her that, and then she's like, okay, maybe I should start doing more. And then, so, like, the last five episodes of season three, you know, repeatedly, we check in on Mercedes repeatedly going viral, then it would have made more sense for her to get this recording contract, because no one's getting a recording contract based off of one viral video.
Disco Inferno.
It's just not happening. It's not happening.
Yeah, you'd have to assume that she ended up sending in more, but they obviously don't go too deep into that because it's not Rachel Berry. So, you know, who cares about what's happening behind the scenes there?
Right. So but I just, no, that's just for sure. A little a note to make. I just wish that we had, you know, gotten a little bit more progression.
She would have gone viral on TikTok. I mean, if
TikTok were today. A thing. I mean, I guess that shouldn't be so stringent, because what's her face? The girl that's about to be Maria in the West Side Story remake definitely got the role largely because of her viral video of her singing Shallow in her high school auditorium. So it can happen. It definitely can happen.
It can happen. But yes, so season four is going to start. It's really not very Mercedes heavy. Amber Riley is going to be in the season, but nowhere near as much as a lot of the other characters. So, you know, not a whole lot to talk about here. It's really just going to be any time that she comes back to visit, because she's off in LA doing some school, putting her foot in the door of things. But okay, so here's the question, something that I always forget about, because she comes back in that first the first time she comes back around the Greece of it all. And she talks about that she was busy at school, but why do I feel like later on she admits that she never actually went to school? Am I making that up?
I believe you are making that up.
So she was in school.
I think you might be conflating Puck and Mercedes because they're both in LA.
No, I know that Puck didn't do school, but like I feel like when she comes at the end of the season, when we're, you know, she comes back for Wonderful, and you know, I mean, I even have it in my notes here that like she wasn't at UCLA, so I'm like confused at what I was talking about there. I don't know what's going on with Mercedes in school. So she was at UCLA.
She might have stopped. I can't remember the dialogue either, but she was definitely taking classes in the beginning. She might have stopped taking the classes to focus on her album because it was running behind or something like that. Or whatever.
That can make sense, yeah. If only she was a character that the show cared enough about to actually make this all clear and not have me forget about things. Whatever. But yeah, she comes back in The Role You Were Born to Play and for Glee's there, along with Mike Chang, the two of them, you know, showing up side by side a couple of different times in this season. First time being, you know, early on. Finn's directing, Mercedes is going to be vocal coaching, Mike on dancing and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, they're doing a good job there. They get the group going with some Born to Hand Jive as like all of the kids. And, you know, this is going to be a theme anytime that Mercedes comes back, that all of the kids just love to see her. They're all very excited when she comes in the room because she's such a happy presence that, you know, it doesn't hurt the fact that she's, you know, becoming pretty successful and they're like, oh my God, our star is here. But yeah, you love to see her when she's back.
Love to see her when she's back. I love the slow motion walk with her and Mike Chang down the hall. I was like, oh yay.
Yeah. Yeah, she's going to, you know, reunite with Kurt and Rachel. They're all updating each other on how things have been going. And she does, you know, mention that she was super busy with school and, you know, laying down some backup vocals on some albums and tracks and whatever. And Glee ends up going really well. So, you know, thank God we had Mercedes back to help out and just, you know, got to spend some more time with her, even though she is off living the L.A. life.
Yeah, I love how the all of the kids really sort of like respect her and she's held with high esteem because, you know, they know who she is, I mean, and she treats them well. She's not like a Rachel who will come back and not even know their fucking names. She actually gives a damn, and she wants them to succeed. So they respond well to that kind of energy, which is why she'll receive the same kind of energy when she comes back later on for Thanksgiving, along with the other alumni, besides Rachel and Kurt, because they're hiding away with drag queens in New York City.
Yeah, she gets to mentor Unique for that, which probably really confused Brittany. Who, you know, spent all of season 4.
I knew it. Mercedes was cloned.
Yeah. So yeah, she's gonna, you know, mentor them, and she's always happy to any kind of these mentor roles. Like, she's always happy to be there and, you know, help these kids out and, you know, give them some extra love and attention that, you know, she never got from anybody while she was there. I mean, sure, guest stars came in, but like, I mean, the most she ever got was April Rhodes teaching her how to shoplift by putting things in between her legs. So, you know, what Mercedes can bring to them is probably a little bit more useful in all of their journeys to, you know, becoming as much of a star as they want to be. She also comes back for the wedding, of course, as we see her breaking up Kurt and Blaine before they get it on in the backseat of the car.
Bless this day!
And for that, I mean, she's got to break up the boys before, you know, there's probably children walking around. We're at a wedding here that walk by the car and see Kurt and Blaine. Like, come on, people, wait till you get to the hotel. She performs, yeah, with
she needs her best arm gaze. Do we ever really see a bit of a relationship blossom between Mercedes and Blaine? Because obviously her and Kurt have one. But I don't know if Blaine and Mercedes ever have, like, time together outside of Kurt.
I mean, my gut instinct is saying no. I don't even remember any specific scene that they have together, let alone, you know, like any kind of actual connection. I'm going to say no. I'm sure that maybe something will come to mind, but no, it's not about Mercedes and Blaine.
Yeah, I don't think so. I guess not. Not even when they're in New York together. I mean, they end up living together. We don't even see them in the same apartment.
So you think, like, after she pulled them out of the car, as they started walking away, Blaine was like, bitch, I don't even like you.
No, I doubt that. I feel like Blaine and Mercedes probably get along just fine. We just haven't gotten a chance to see it. I would have loved to get some Blaine-Sadies content.
I mean, there's probably some kind of conflict between them over their love of Sam at some point. Maybe some jealousy happening there. But she's going to come back one more time, of course, Mike as well, in the wonderful episode, the penultimate episode of season four. Kurt's back as well. And there's actually some heavy content for Mercedes here in this episode, because she gets a phone call that doesn't really end up going too well. And, you know, she has some of her friends here to kind of like lean on in this weird time that she's going through. And she's also, you know, of course, always around to be helping out the kids as they prepare for another performance coming up.
She is back to teach them how to do some melisma, yo, some vocal runs. Well, mainly just Marley. But she's also there to scout out some potential backup for her music video. If things weren't going by so sourly at her label, who just want her to show more skin and all sorts of sex and stuff, because sex sells. But she does recruit Jake in her music video. And she does give Marley a little bit of confidence for these vocal runs, which is ultimately going to show her why. Well, we'll get to that later on when we get to season five. She does get a call from her producer. And until she agrees to show more skin, they're not going to continue to produce the album. And it's just, you know, bullshit.
Yeah, and she's pretty, you know, disappointed by that, to say the least, offended by that, hurt by that, because she's been working so hard on this album for like the entire season four. Like, we take it to be that, you know, we haven't seen her much because she's been so busy, hard at work on all of this. So when she gets the call that like, actually this isn't going to happen until you agree to our terms, and it's not just like, oh, like sing this song on the album, it's like, no, you have to show more skin, something that you don't, that, you know, you're telling me you're not comfortable with, you have to do it anyway. So she's like, what the fuck is that about? Her friends are going to try to, you know, help her out and you know, just be there for her. But she ends up coming to a decision that she's just going to not even go through the record label anymore. She's just going to end up putting the record out on her own. So she is, you know, taking it into her own hands. Who knows how successful it'll be? I mean, if anybody can do it, it's Mercedes. But, you know, still crappy that we're here in season four. And, you know, the only thing that we get is more people, you know, not treating her very nicely and, you know, giving her a hard time on her path to success. And sure, it can be, you know, said that it's going to be hard for anybody to, you know, reach success. You can't just get out, you know, come out of high school age 18, 19 and have an album put out. It's not going to be that easy. But I mean, the way that it's presented with this whole like you have to show more skin, it's like, okay, we didn't need to go that far.
Exactly. And I feel like the type of music that Mercedes is singing probably doesn't even like, isn't like that sexually explicit. So it's like, I feel like the producer doesn't know what the fuck they're doing, because why would you want, that's like having Adele get on her album cover like in like a corset and thigh highs. And not saying that Adele can't rock that look. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong. Like, if Adele wanted to.
That was not what her albums were about.
Exactly. Like, it was just like, how are you up here singing about like rolling in the deep and you're like rolling in the lingerie? Like,
yeah.
Doesn't make much sense.
Definitely did not need to be the case, but of course, you know, I don't know, they gave her some content, so maybe I shouldn't complain at all, but I don't know, that's not how I'm going about it. But whatever, she's gonna stick around for the regionals performance, so she's still there for the rest of the season. You know, Will and Emma get married and she's there for that. So you know, season four, not really a Mercedes heavy season, but luckily we still have two more seasons to go, where especially in season five there's going to be plenty to talk about, as she's gonna show up in New York and then you know, just kind of be popping in and out a little bit more consistently for the rest of the show. But alrighty then, we already did you know, a handful of Mercedes songs from seasons four and, you know, even later, but we still have plenty more to go, luckily. So we're gonna start talking about the next set of Mercedes' songs, going from song number 30. Make my wish come true.
Just one thing I need. Don't care about
All right, we're starting off the day here, Amon, with some Christmas. I'm sure that makes you happy, but it lands here at number 30 from season 3. All I Want for Christmas Is You.
It does make me very happy. I love this song. I love this song. I love this song. I love Mariah Carey's version, of course. I love Amber's version, of course. I honestly think that this deserves to be in the top 10. Not just because it's a Christmas.
Top 10.
Not just because this is a Christmas song, although that does help it out a lot. But I just think that this is just, it's one of the, I mean, it's not easy to cover this song. You know what I mean? Like, there aren't a lot of successful covers of this song because Mariah is just Mariah, you know? And so I feel like whenever you are able to, I won't say rival, I think that rival is the wrong word, but I think that whenever you are able to compliment, and that's with an I, or that's with an E and then an I, whenever you're able to compliment a song this well, I think that that's extremely commendable, especially if it's coming from a legend like Mariah Carey. So I think that this is one of her best vocal performances of the entire series. And because it's one of the most popular songs and not an easy song to sing, I think that it deserves to be top 10.
All right. Well, I'll be curious to see if you feel the same way when we like go through the rest of the 29 songs here. And especially when we get to the top 10, if you think that any of the songs that are in the top 10 would make sense to be replaced by All I Want for Christmas Is You. But I get the sentiment, the general sentiment of, you like this one, especially with the audience would have had this in yesterday's countdown. So I guess the little extra boost that comes here, single-handedly from Amon Adwin.
I feel like the audience is like, I'm not going to rate these Christmas songs high because I know Amon is going to.
Number 29 on the Mercedes Jones countdown, we are going to some season one here. There's actually a little bit of season one in today's section, but let's get the first season one number in, 29. I bust the windows out your car, and no, we didn't mean my broken heart. I probably always have these ugly scars, but right now I don't care about that. All right, the first ever Mercedes Jones performance on Glee. Bust Your Windows with her and all the Cheerios dancing around at the car wash with the cars in the background. What do you think?
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. I mean, I don't know what it is about Philadelphia, but it just be producing some bomb-ass R&B artists and writers because Miss Jasmine Sullivan was on some shit when she wrote this song. And Mercedes certainly does it justice. I mean, this is probably the angriest we've ever seen Mercedes. I don't think she's ever been this incensed ever. Maybe when McConaughey tears up her wigs, but I mean, she really took a whole rock and smashed that window.
Poor
Kurt is just like, ma'am, this is the car wash.
Just like you busted my heart.
It's just crazy. Just crazy. But she kills it. And she's getting down with the little choreo too. All right. All right. I see you, girl. I see you.
Call me lazy now. No, she's crushing it out here, in the early days of Glee. I'm looking at the list.
The Cheerios are definitely not wearing age-appropriate outfits, but
yeah, that's another story for another day. I'm looking at the list here, and this is going to be, I feel like you're going to give me some shocked reactions coming up, not for any reason, not for any song in particular, but like just looking up the list, there are so many good Mercedes performances, and I feel like it's easy to forget as we're going to get to some things that are like low, and you're like, how is that though this low? It'll all make sense, I think, when we look back at it, but I guess I'm just preparing you and anybody listening for anything that could be coming up if you're like, whoa, there's a lot of good stuff. So let's, use that to not scare anybody and keep on going into number 28. Summer loving had me a blast. Summer loving happened so fast. I met a girl crazy for me. Met a boy cute as can be. their Summer Nights, which is it surprising to you that the number 5 Sam Evans song is the number 28 Mercedes Jones song?
Not surprising at all, because Mercedes has hits, darling. She's got a catalog, okay? She's got number 1 hits.
She certainly does.
She's serving you discography, and Sam is serving you SoundCloud artist. So.
Oh, wow. Whoa. Oof. All right. The heat has been turned up in here. Yes. Summer Nights there. Mercedes and Sam, along with their Glee friends. Just as we talked about before, just outwardly telling the world about their summer romance while she's still dating Shane. But, you know, it's worth it for the song. Do it for the song. So there was number 28. Number 27.
Every single day, I walk down the street. I hear people say, baby, so sweet. Ever since puberty, everybody stares at me. Boys, girls, I can't help it, baby. So be kind and don't lose your mind. Just remember that I'm your baby. Take me for what I am, who I was meant to be.
As I'd love to play the whole thing, Take Me or Leave Me there at number 27. I think Corey Cool came on with us, and I think he said this was one of the favorite performances he remembers from the show. So hope Corey's not listening to this all the way down here at 27.
Maybe it'll be higher on Rachel's list.
I mean, Rachel has like double the songs Mercedes has, so it might even be lower. I have no idea.
Yeah, this is definitely a top tier performance. But we're getting into like nitpicking now, you know what I mean? Because Rachel or Mercedes, she just has so many good ones, so it's like hard. I'm not that mad that this is this low, because I know that there are some shit that I know what's coming, so that's why I'm like, okay, fine. But yeah, this is a good performance. The two of them sound great together. I personally think that Mercedes wins this diva off, but we ain't gotta talk about that.
Yeah. It just, like I said, when I was trying to warn everybody, feels weird to have some songs that are this good between these two, you know, all the way down the list. But there's plenty of good stuff to come. So there it is at number 27. Let me see. Where did the audience have Take Me or Leave Me? They had it like 4 spots higher. So just, I guess, a couple of other songs that we ended up boosting played with things a little bit there. But we move on into number 26. Another duet. Number 1 Noah Puckerman performance lands here at number 26 on the Mercedes Jones track list here as Lady is a Tramp with Puck, season 1, episode 18.
That's because Mercedes is serving you discography and Puck is serving you Instagram singer.
We are just going to not stop until we put all of these Glee boys into their make sure they know their role.
You know, what does Terry say? Never mind. I was going to make a joke with one of Terry's quotes, but I can't remember the quote, so I'm not even going to opt to make the joke.
What does Terry say? That's a fun game to play. Yes. Number 26, Lady is a Tramp. Makes sense to me.
Yeah, this what I like about this song is that it just showcases the the versatility of Amber's voice. I mean, she can give you some jazz. Obviously, she'll give you the R&B and the soul when she needs to. And she can give you a little bit of the Broadway flair, too. So she's just a jack of all trades.
Mm-hmm. Yep, she steps it up big time for this one early on where, you know, we've had her sing a couple times, but, you know, just reminding us that she's here. And my screen is currently paused on Santana, not in the mood for any of this. I think our screens often pause on different times, so I don't know if you're seeing it the same way, but she is just...
same thing. Okay, she's like in the background. Like,
pissed off, yes.
Yeah.
So there's number 26, and let's keep on moving to number 25.
My love has come along. My lonely days are over. And life is like a song.
So yeah, At Last coming from a very fun episode there, and of course Artie and Mercedes, you know, always kill it together on those songs. I think Kevin was tweeting recently, right, about his tweets, tweeting about his tweets, yes, tweeting about revisiting this song and about how, you know, stressful it was for him and the fact that he was singing it with Amber. Like, his voice definitely goes all over the place in this one in a good way. So, you know, whether or not he got some assistance, it ended up with a really good product.
Yeah, it's I mean, I can understand being a little nervous for this song, because it's a tall order. I mean, Mercedes does it very, very well, and they sound great together. It's a classic Etta James number, so it's lots of emotion already packed with it. So anybody that can pull that off, yes.
So very fun there at number 25 with that last, and let's move on to number 24. All right, 4 minutes. What do you think about 4 minutes here? Lands at number 24. Kurt and Mercedes. Definitely, I think, a lot of nostalgia there for this number from season one. You know, the early days. It's pretty high up, but I think the nostalgia makes sense to me about it all.
Yeah, it's, you know, by virtue of it being a season one song, I think that's probably why it got this high. I don't necessarily think about this song a lot of the time, but... I get it. It's certainly high energy. It's, you know, Madonna at the tail end of her career, and and it's a Kurt and Mercedes song. So yeah, I think that adds a little bit of magic to it. It's
what
really
was that
fun.
Laugh? You being shady at Madonna?
Yeah.
I mean, I like that song in general, but I also like it the way that they did it there on Glee. So number 24, not too bad. I think they absolutely those two could have expected worse for that song. So we'll take it there at 24. And let's keep on moving with another season one song up next in the list at number 23.
Every day is so wonderful, and suddenly it's hard to breathe. Now and then I get insecure from all the pain. I'm so ashamed. I am beautiful no matter what they say. Words can't bring me down. I am beautiful in every single way. Yes, words can't bring me down. Don't you bring me down today. No matter what we do, no matter what we say. Yeah, 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 yeah. And everywhere we go, the sun will always, always shine.
Beautiful there. Let's hear it. Number 23. Too high, too low. I think it's good.
I think it's good too. How the hell is Jesse St. James present for this performance and then gets up on stage the very next year and has the nerve to call her lazy while then saying that Rachel really connected with the emotion of that Barbra Streisand song? What the fuck is wrong with him? Like, how do you not look at this performance and be like, this girl has it?
Because he's in love with Rachel, and that's all he cares about. I'm sure he would admit that she is, you know, better in some alternate timeline where there's no bias involved, but that's not where we're living. So, yeah, we'll just have to be the ones to speak up for Mercedes, and happy to do so.
Yeah, this is fantastic.
Yes.
And, yeah.
Yes, so there was 23, and we will move on to number 22.
You know the bed feels warmer, sleeping here alone. You know I dream in color and do the things I want. You think you got the best of me, think you had the last laugh, but you think that doesn't kill you, makes you stronger. Stand a little taller. Doesn't mean I'm lonely when I'm alone. What doesn't kill you makes a fighter. Footsteps even lighter. Doesn't mean I'm over, 'cause you're gone. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, stronger. Just me, myself, and I.
Yeah, Britney gets a couple lines in there. Sue us. Don't add us. I don't care. But Mercedes and Santana leading the way here on our first Trouble Tones number that made it into the countdown at number 22, Stronger.
I just realized that Britney has like a little part during the chorus that I'd never heard before until now. She's like under them singing, "What doesn't kill you?" Like, I've never heard that before until now. I don't know what it is about this recording, but her voice was coming through very clearly. I don't even think I've ever heard that on, like, the Kelly Clarkson version either, but I guess it must be a thing. This is a fantastic number for Mercedes, right? Like, I mean, this is the moment that she's been waiting for, to have her damn moment up on the stage, not hindered by Rachel and any of these other hosts. Like, she does such a good job.
Yeah, this is the one. Stronger is the one that they do after Trouble Tones have already lost. So she's had her moment. I mean, they did Survivor, I Will Survive, and now they're here, you know, getting the chance to continue being the Trouble Tones, even though the Trouble Tones are no longer. So, you know, the fact that they're able to continue this on thanks to Quinn, but maybe, I mean, thanks to Quinn, but also, like, if Quinn had not been involved, they just wouldn't have come back to the Glee Club because of the fact that they you know, left them, but whatever. Glad that they came back. Glad that we got these performances, you know, the additional Treble Tones numbers throughout the rest of the show. You know, this one, Edge of Glory, that's going to come up, you know, later down the list, and, you know, anything else. So really, really fun. And we just, you know, we cracked the can open here on Treble Tones numbers. And let's keep moving down or up the list to number 21. It's a song that we talked about today. So there we go. Disco Inferno, the song that launched the career of Mercedes Jones in season three, thanks to Sam Evans recording her in the background without even telling her. But there it is.
Yeah, she, man, she really kills that, man. It's like, you can just listen to that voice, all the growling, all the extra shit that she got going on in there. It's just so good. It's so good. She sounds immaculate on this song.
She does. She's like... And it's not even a song that particularly, at least speaking for myself, I remember as like, oh man, like she goes there with this song, but she really does. So yeah, I'm glad to see that it made its way all the way up the list here to number 21. Because I probably wouldn't have put it up there myself, but you know, these are not just my rankings. So sometimes when I slip up, that other people need to remind me that nope, this song is actually pretty good. So there it is at number 21 from season three, and we're actually in a bit of a season three, you know. Puddle here. I'm going to call it a puddle. The next couple songs are from season three. Let's keep on moving to number 20.
Clap your hands, y'all. So turn me up, turn me up. Clap your hands, y'all. So bright. Clap your hands, y'all. So bright. Uh-huh. Clap your hands, y'all. So bright.
Oh, if tomorrow is judgment day,
sing my name.
And I'm standing on the front line. The Lord asked me what I did with my life. I will say, I spent it with you.
Clap your hands, y'all, so bright.
It's alright.
Clap your hands, y'all, so bright.
Clap your hands, y'all, so bright. Your love is my love, and my love is your love.
Your love, baby.
It would take an eternity to break us.
So and
the chains of our mistakes couldn't hold us.
We have a lot of love for this song here. Our love for this song is your love for this song. Sure hope, because it lands here at number 20. And yeah, that's definitely a boost from you and I. The audience had it a little bit lower, but that's what we're here for. So at number 20, My Love is Your Love, season 3, episode 17.
Yeah, just amazing. I love this Whitney Houston number. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. And then we get some more Arcades with it as well. Like, come on. I mean, how can you hate this?
I don't know how. I don't think anybody does. It's probably just, I don't know. It kind of gets lost in there. And it's like it's one of those songs that, like, when you're watching all the way through, like we were, it's like such an impactful performance from everybody that's involved. It's just like, you know, the Glee Club's all over the place. Everybody's having drama, whatever. And then when they all come together and, you know, it seems like nobody's showing up for rehearsal that day, but then everybody does. And it's like, oh, the family.
Uh-huh.
It's great. It's a really great moment there on top of a song that already sounds good with these two vocalists. So that is number 20, and we have, what, four more songs today, right, to count down for this section. So let's keep it moving to number 19. I'm curious how the reaction will be to this one. Number 19 from Still Season 3.
An idea. How about Mercedes stop emotionally manipulating people with her voice? How about that?
No. How about that?
This is abuse.
How dare you?
This is abuse.
It's the best kind of abuse anybody could ask for.
Okay. Oh, God. Yeah. She, two Whitney Houston numbers back to back. And I mean, it's obvious why.
Yeah. So, I don't know what happened here. I do you feel like you are taking any credit for this being low, or maybe it's both of us? I don't remember what specific score happened here, but I mean, the audience did have this in their top 10. So falling here to number 19, honestly, no, it probably just means that there are so many other songs that we love so much that ended up getting a, like, the best boost possible. But I don't know. This song falling to number 19 feels really wrong, but that's what you get here on a Mercedes Jones countdown of a lot of really good songs. So there it is at number 19.
It does feel a little criminal. I mean, maybe I gave it a 4 and not, maybe I gave it like one step below iconic, legendary, whatever the hell. I feel like I don't know. You must have
because
I can't remember. I guess I must have. Yeah.
I think we both might have actually, but I don't know.
I think for me, it's because it's Whitney and it's like, and she does a fantastic job, but nothing for me is ever as iconic as Whitney's version. That's why Whitney is known as the voice, because no one has what she has. And so I think I was just being a little puritanical, I guess.
Yeah, fair. I mean, look, top 20 Mercedes performances is going to be a hard list to crack anyway. So, you know, this obviously belongs here, but definitely understandable if anyone's like, what the hell? How is it so low? I don't know what to tell you, but it is there at number 19, and we obviously all have nothing but positive things to say about it. So there it is at 19, and let's keep on going to number 18. Back to some trouble tones.
There ain't a reason you and me should be alone tonight, yeah, baby, tonight, yeah, baby. I got a reason that you should take me home tonight. It's right, but it's so wrong tonight, yeah, baby, tonight, yeah, baby. Right on the limits where we know we both belong tonight. It's hard to feel the rush, to crash the danger.
Hanging on a
it's so good. It's even better when you watch the whole Nationals performance all together. But yeah, that's not quite the task we have in front of us here today. But Edge of Glory, Season 3, the winning Nationals performance with the winning Treble Tones number in the mix there. There it is for you.
I'm on the edge with you, with you, with you, with you, with you.
Hey, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Such a great Lady Gaga number. I love Lady Gaga.
Yeah, she's pretty cool.
Amber does a fantastic job. Fantastic job! Love it! With you.
It's so good. They obviously sound incredible together, both Naya and Amber on all of these Treble Tones numbers. And it's going to be some tough competition for the Treble Tones like top numbers. I think, you know, there generally seems to be a consensus about the number one, but we'll see if that holds and we'll see how some of the other ones, you know, fare up against them. So there is Edge of Glory at number, what was it, 17. 18. It was number 18 because we have two more songs here today. Number 17 is up next, and then one more after that.
Well, I'm a lot like you when you're standing at the crossroads and don't know which path to choose. Let me come along, 'cause even if you're wrong, I'll stand by you. Oh, I'll stand by you. Nobody.
I'll Stand By You coming in here at the number 17 spot. Obviously, this is from the quarterback, so this is Mercedes, you know, singing her tribute to Finn, as we're going to get into more of this in the next podcast in part three. But just, you know, another beautiful performance, just like many of the others, but obviously this one with a little bit more meaning to it.
Yeah. It's interesting because we never get to see the conversation take place between Mercedes and Finn about him singing this song to the baby that he thought was his. So it's just kind of cool that like there's like a little bit of like off-screen relationship that we got to learn about through this song. But yeah, she does a great job, and it's performed with just the right amount of emotion so that it's not, you know, like overly wrought. It's just very honest and raw and great to watch.
Yeah, we're not like sad. Well, it depends on when you're watching. And I was gonna say we're not bawling, but right now we're not bawling. But if we were watching the episode, we might be, because, you know, that's the episode there. But as far as the performance goes, definitely just another incredible one from Amber Riley. But that is not the last one of the day. We have one more up for today. It is another song from Season 5. It is another solo from Season 5. So without further ado, let's play song number 16.
Looking out on the morning rain, I used to feel so uninspired. And when I knew I had to face another day, Lord, it made me feel so tired. Before the day I met you, life was so unkind. You're the key to my peace of mind, 'cause you make me feel, you make me feel, you make me feel like a natural woman. Oh, baby,
Right. Number 16, You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman. It is Mercedes off in the city all by herself, taking some time to think about things because, surprise, surprise, will she, won't she with Sam, you know?
I don't know why I never realized that there was like a whole band on the merry-go-round before. Like, there's a girl with drums and a guitar. I don't know. I guess I just never really paid too much attention to the visuals of this before, because I just, that's the first time I've seen that. But I love this song. She sounds so great on it. I listen to this from time to time. And I love how she just casually walks off the carousel at the end of the performance and it's magically daytime again. I just love everything about this.
Yeah. No, it's just, the song's over. That's when you step off the carousel, obviously. It's another great one. And it just misses the top 15 as this arbitrary cutoff that exists here because of the way that we are ranking all of these or splitting up all of these for the sake of the podcast. But that is it for today. So we are going to have, I don't know if I said 15 or 16. No, yeah, 16. We're going to have the top 15 coming up in part three, along with some Mercedes analysis of her time in seasons number 5 and 6. So we will close out the book for talking about Mercedes Jones here in the next podcast. So thank you guys for listening to this one. Hopefully you enjoyed it, and hopefully you will join us for the next one up in your feet.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure that you're following us on Twitter and on TikTok. And until next time,